welcome on the show, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm very well. Now, I understand you're in a bit of a rush, so let's get to the meat of this story, which is that there actually are some direct impacts that technology is having on mental health well-being, and part of that is actually around sleep or this idea of beducation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, so it's fair to say that too much of anything is bad for you. Food, too much exercise, too much TV, and when you get into addictive behaviours, drugs, alcohol, clearly too much of it is bad. When I started the Young and Well Cooperative Research Centre back in 2010, 2011, we talked about the balance between technology and how you actually use it for good versus how do we support young people to stay safe and well online. And I think that's the hardest thing when you talk to parents about what's going on. It's understanding, well, what does the balance look like between the use of technology to support good mental health versus how do we ensure that our children and our young people don't end up in a bad position, you know, poor sleep habits, too much gaming, and what is increasingly being termed this idea of internet addiction.
Yeah, now what has been the effect of the use of internet and social media usage on people's attention spans? Are there any noticeable differences developing as of yet?
Look, it's an interesting question, and the research really struggles to keep up with anything related to technology. So Young and Well specifically looked at technology use and what it meant in terms of young people accessing support and care. We know that our services are available 9 to 5, but really when young people are struggling, it's often when those services aren't available. There's early research which has shown that social networking can be both good and bad. So increased connectedness is good for your mental health. Impact on social engagement for particularly vulnerable young people, those with chronic illnesses and disability, that's good for your mental health. But the Young and Well research showed that there was about 20% of young people who were online for more than 5 or 6 hours. And what we're saying is, how do we get that balance right? How do you ensure that children and young people aren't, you know, taking their technologies into the bedroom with them? Not just young people, but people in general. You know, how do you ensure that there's a good balance between the use of tech and then getting out and enjoying the sunshine? Because we know that that's good for your mental health. So it's not a clear-cut, easy answer, technology is bad or technology is good. It's how do we actually understand how to use it in an appropriate way and help children and young people make informed choices about that with the support of their families or supportive others.
Absolutely. So in an age where the youth are more digitally connected than ever with smartphones, the use of social media, is there a risk of losing those kind of interpersonal and social skills that face-to-face interaction can give us?
Look, I think, again, you know, when the TV was invented, there was a public outcry and outrage about the risks associated with it. It is about balance, and it is about making sure that we maintain human beings by their very nature want to connect. They want to feel valued. They crave human interaction. That is the nature of a human. Technologies, if used in the right way, can facilitate and support that, particularly when people become unwell. So things like depression, anxiety, social phobias, they tend to create a sense of isolation, or people don't understand me or care about me. And we've seen the technologies being used in incredible ways around peer-to-peer support. Reachout.com and Headspace are two online resources, Kids Helpline. So again, it's not a neat, clean, easy answer for you. I think it really is from a parent's perspective. As you would teach a child to learn how to ride their bike and stay safe or learn to swim, you start the conversations early and you talk about the good things and the bad things and you set limits. And as children transition into adolescence, where they're more reliant on their peers, their friends, you have those conversations about what it means to be safe in that online environment. The Office of the Children's eSafety Commissioner, if people are interested and really want to understand how to have these conversations with their children, is a fabulous resource that explains everything from internet addiction, gaming, social media, right through to some of the really challenging conversations that we need to have with our children around sexualisation and pornography. I would highly recommend, if parents are concerned or if they really want to understand it, jumping online and having a look at that, because again, it's the conversations that matter. It's learning from your experiences. It's sitting down with your children and understanding what they're doing online and making sure that you've got all the safety precautions in place. But teenagers, by their nature, take risks, and we've known this forever. It hasn't changed in the, you know, in the 50 or 60 years since we started researching the development of children and young people. And technologies are just another area that we need to really understand and support our kids to be safe in.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Professor Burns.
Thank you for having me.